This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today our special guest is South Dakota Senator John Thune. He's a member of the Senate Ag Committee and set to join us in just a few moments. Let's go from South Dakota, though, to Wyoming. Risk Management Specialist with StoneX is Kurt Donsbach. Talks about the supply side of beef.
I think the way to start that is it's a futures market, so it's an analysis of the market in the future, if you will. Present supply is actually not that low, about 98%, so plenty, especially at today's prices. But the forecast for the future, and a gut cow producer from Montana, I'm looking at the herd reduction. A shortage of supplies is clearly coming down the road, let alone if you throw in some rain and we start rebuilding the herd, and then you drastically decrease the supply even more. So definitely a bullish supply side.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable John Thune, who represents the great state of South Dakota, member of the Senate Ag Committee. Hey, it's great to see you.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be with you.
Okay, so quick update on back home. When you look across the state, what are the conditions right now?
We had a lot of drought this year, so there were a lot of areas of our state where we just didn't have yields, you know, which is unfortunate because we've got prices finally. And then we had some areas in our state that had good yields. So depending on where you were, it was real varied in South Dakota this year, very spotty. But as is always the case, so much of production agriculture depends upon the weather. We have a lot better seed types these days, and drought-resistant type seeds, hybrid seeds that have been very effective in at least boosting our yields a little bit even in dry years. But this year was extraordinarily dry in a lot of South Dakota, so it's been tough.
We think of, and when we talk about South Dakota, we often talk about ag, but you've got a lot of other industry in South Dakota as well, right?
We are. We're more diversified than we used to be, but agriculture is still our number one industry, and so we pay a lot of attention to it. And anytime we get into a farm bill year like this year, there have been a lot of things through the years that have really improved for agriculture, and I think, you know, having a good, strong safety net, particularly the crop insurance program, is vital. It's the cornerstone really now of all our farm policy. But our producers work really hard. They are, you know, very efficient at what they do. And we just want to make sure that we have at least the good policy framework, right incentives in place to make sure that they can continue to feed not only our country, but the world.
Do you have the opportunity to sit down with producers and really pick their brains and find out what's working, what's not working to bring back?
Yeah, we do. I spend a lot of time, you know, particularly during the summer months of the year when all the farm shows are going on, fairs, just talking individually with producers. So I get a lot of one-on-one input, but we also consult with all the commodity groups, conservation groups, livestock groups, nutrition groups. There are 12 titles in every farm bill, and, you know, so we try and kind of build out in each of those titles ideas that we receive from people back in South Dakota who are interested. And I think our state's a good example of a state where you've got a pretty diverse, you've got, you know, western South Dakota, a lot of livestock production, eastern South Dakota, a lot of crop production, obviously significant investment in biofuels, and conservation, which is a huge issue. I mean, pheasant hunting is a huge industry in South Dakota, and so the CRP program, among other conservation policies, is really critical too. So it's really important to our state. It's something through the years I've spent a lot of time on, both as a member of the House of Representatives, now as in the Senate on the Senate Ag Committee, and we're gearing up now for another farm bill.
You had your first hearing, rural development hearing, earlier this week, and if I recall, you had the opportunity to introduce somebody as well. So how important are these hearings, and were you able to pull something from it?
Right. We had a gentleman in South Dakota who runs as the CEO of a company called Golden West Telecommunications. And so the rural development title of the bill deals with a lot of issues like high-speed internet build-out and making that available in rural areas of the country. And so as we look at those and examine those programs and the impact they have on agriculture, you know, high-speed internet services obviously enables a lot of things like precision agriculture. And so much of the farm equipment today comes, you know, equipped with these tools that can really, that just make farming so much more efficient. And technology's really changed the game. but you've got to have the networks to support it. And so people like Denny Law, who testified at the hearing, is right in the middle of that and making significant investments and enabling a lot of the technology to be utilized in a way that increases the success of agriculture in South Dakota. So that title of the Farm Bill is, you know, one that people don't always think about that, but we want to make sure that the resources that get allocated there are used wisely and well. And sometimes there are so many different buckets of funds throughout the federal government that are overlapping that you can overbuild and you can become inefficient. And so oversight is important, and that's kind of what that hearing was about.
As we move forward, what would you like to see as we have these discussions and these hearings for the Farm Bill? Is there something you'd like to make sure we're talking about, or is there something that hasn't been in the Farm Bill that needs to be in the Farm Bill?
I think one of the debates we're probably going to have around this Farm Bill is the role that farmers can play in storing carbon. I mean, I think the carbon sequestration and the role that agriculture can play and help being a solution to climate. And that, you know, for better or worse, I think that's probably going to be a point of discussion in this year's Farm Bill. So we're looking for some ideas on that front. I think, too, in South Dakota, we have adverse weather, and we have some pretty extreme cycles from time to time. So through the years, I've worked really hard to continue to strengthen the permanent disaster title in the Farm Bill, make sure it's more functional, more workable, for and easier for farmers to access and use when they do get into a drought year. And so it's a part of our safety net. You've got the crop insurance program, really important, the commodity title of the bill, which includes the ARC program, the PLC program, and then you've got the disaster title, which kicks in at times when you have weather-related disasters or other types of disasters in agriculture. So perfecting that, continuing to refine it, make it work more effectively is something that we're focused on in this Farm Bill, in addition to the other titles. And we've got several ideas for making the CRP program stronger, and again, provide more incentives for farmers to take advantage of and use it. We think that's, those types of programs in the conservation title of the bill are underutilized, and part of it has to do with the incentives that are out there. So we're trying to restructure those in a way that that enhances the likelihood that farmers will use it.
Even though South Dakota can grow its own food, consume its own food, you really have to rely on exports. So as we look further down the road, into 2023 for sure, how important will trade issues be as
very,
well?
Very. And there's a trade title in the Farm Bill. But the most important thing we can do for trade is open markets. And one thing that this administration has really missed the boat on, and they have not had a trade agenda. In fact, they haven't filled the key trade positions, both at the USTR, the U.S. Trade Representative's Office, and there's an important position that focuses on trade within the Department of Agriculture. Neither of those have been filled. Now, we finally have nominees, we've had hearings, and hopefully we can process them on the floor, but we're almost 2 years into this administration. So there's no focus on trade. They haven't requested trade promotion authority, which is what enables them to negotiate free trade agreements. We have huge opportunities in Asia, and we're worried about China for a lot of reasons, including national security. And if you want to figure out a way to isolate China, start doing business with all those people in that region. And right now, they're being drawn into China's orbit because the U.S. isn't present. So this administration has, and there are a lot of us up here on my side of the aisle, Republicans, who would be willing to work with this administration on a trade agenda. But so far, they haven't been, there just has been a very, very little interest in expanding trade opportunities for our farmers and ranchers. And there's some low-hanging fruit. I mean, there are a couple of deals, the U.K., the E.U., these are countries of the world that we ought to have trade relationships with, and we don't. And I think that's a huge missed opportunity.
So good to see you. Thanks for your time.
Great to be with you. Thanks, Tony.
Again, it's the Honorable John Thune, represents South Dakota, member of the Senate Ag Committee from Washington, D.C. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.
At Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success is our only purpose. We understand your financing needs and will be here to support you through it all. We specialize in traditional farming and ranching operations, recreational property, equipment and livestock, agribusiness, and country home loans, plus insurance and leasing. At Ag Texas, we're dedicated to the prosperity of agriculture and rural America. Ag Texas Farm Credit, your success, our purpose.
Success is attained by those who approach problems with a plan and a purpose. As an advocate for High Plains cotton growers since 1956, Plains Cotton Growers has been tackling the tough issues facing cotton growers through beneficial legislative and regulatory changes. An important part of PCG's success is through close working relationships with congressional representatives and federal regulatory staff, allowing cotton growers more time to devote to farming operations. From the halls of Congress to the dusty turnroads of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
This is the Agribusiness Report. Dr. Mark Jackanowski is chairman of the World Ag Outlook Board.
World Board, we are generally known for one thing, and that's putting out the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report. We put out our most recent report just last week, giving the first official look at the new crop year. Expectations for supply and demand for all of the major commodities. We're a relatively small agency, about 22 staff. We've been around since 1973. And our staff includes the commodity board chairs that are responsible for compiling these numbers and finalizing them. And it also includes a staff of meteorologists who look at and monitor weather in real time across the world, and we use that in all of our assessments of global market and production conditions.
A big piece of work from the World Ag Outlook Board is the World Ag Supply and Demand Estimates, or WASD.
Although we're a small agency, the process of putting together the WASD stretches across several USDA agencies. Our folks chair the process of putting the numbers together, but they are gathering information from their colleagues and the Economic Research Service, Foreign Ag Service, Farm Service Agency, Agricultural Marketing Service, and others. So in any given month, there's probably 100 people or more that contribute in some way or another to putting the WASD together.
And what makes the report very interesting, Jackanowski says, is the fact there are no politics involved.
I think most people probably realize this, but it's always also worth emphasizing. All of us who work on the WASD, we are career government employees. This is a completely non-political process. It's an official report. It's a principal federal economic indicator. It is signed with the seal of approval by the Secretary of Agriculture or his designate, but he doesn't sign that report he doesn't see that report until after he signs it. So he puts his seal of approval on it before even knowing what's in the report. So it really emphasizes the fact that we call it as we see it based on the best information we have, and no political interference or no conflicts of interest of any kind.
Mark Jackanowski, Chairman, World Ag Outlook Board. It's the Agribusiness Report.
4%. It sounds like a small number, but over hundreds or thousands of acres, 4% can make the difference between profit and loss. Momentum by Fendt is the only planter that helps reduce soil compaction, protect spacing, and conserve seed, ensuring you'll manage every row and every acre with momentum. Learn more at livingstonmachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Are you looking for a new opportunity? The King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management's Ranch Manager Job Board is open, with jobs posted from Texas, Idaho, New Mexico, Nebraska, Colorado, New York, Montana, Oklahoma, South Dakota, Oregon, Florida, even Mexico. Or are you looking for someone to manage a ranch? Find out more at the King Ranch Institute for Ranch Management online, krirm.com. Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, South Dakota Senator, member of the Senate Ag Committee, John Thune. Now, you can hear all of our interviews from Washington, D.C. online at allagnews.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
The new USDA farm income forecast for 2022 projects cash receipts from the sale of crops to be up 19% from last year. That's a big jump. But
I think the livestock side for 2022 has been a really interesting story because we see some pretty big increases.
USDA's chief economist Seth Meyer says total cash receipts from livestock and livestock products will grow even more than the crop side. We got details on that from Spiro Stefano. He runs the USDA's Economic Research Service, and he told us by the end of this year,
we're going to see dairy increasing dramatically, you know, nearly 30%. Cow-calf operations, 12.1%. Broilers are up 46%. Eggs are up over 100%.
Cash receipts for hogs will be about even with last year's excellent sales. So, in total, cash receipts for all livestock and livestock products this year could top last year by almost 31%. Gary Crawford, Washington.